Welcome to the Space Show, Kerry.
Oh, nice to be here again, Andrew.
You've got a very large model of the shuttle, at least the front part, and you can go right through that. And when you come out, I noticed on the right-hand side, there is a small bubble of plastic underneath a flag, and in its side is a little piece of rock. Why on earth would you have a little piece of rock and a piece of plastic, Kerry?
Well, of course, that's not just any piece of rock and a piece of plastic. That is a genuine moon rock.
Oh, really?
Yes, it is. It's one of our prides of display. We just wish it was ours. It actually belongs to the Museum of Australia. And it was donated to the people of Australia by the US government after the Apollo 17 mission in commemoration of the Australian role through hosting the US tracking stations here during the Apollo program. In fact, what happened was that in the Apollo 17 mission, it was specifically designated that they would bring back a particular quantity of rock, and they brought back one very large boulder, or, you know, large by the sizes of the stuff that they bring back from the moon, which was then broken up into pieces, and every nation that had contributed to the Apollo program was given a piece of that that rock, together with the flag of their country, which had been carried to the moon on board that mission.
So they pre-planned this.
Yes. The whole thing was planned in advance to be of course, they knew by then that Apollo 17 was going to be the last gasp of the Apollo program, the finale, and so this was considered a fitting gesture to the various countries that had been involved to give them something that had been to the moon.
How big was the flag?
Oh, it's not quite big at all. It's what, about 4 inches by 2 or 3, something like that. Sorry, I'm not into metrics when it comes to these things.
We'll forgive you. Gemini. Have you got some pieces of Gemini there?
Yeah, we actually have two little pieces from the Gemini spacecraft. One is actually a beryllium panel that was made for a Gemini spacecraft that was never completed. And it's a panel from the nose section, for want of a better word, of the Gemini. If you'll remember, it was like a cone with a long nose section on it.
Perhaps we should remind our listeners what Gemini was.
Well, of course, Gemini was the second phase of the American crewed space program, or piloted, or whatever we're supposed to use these days when we can't say manned. You had the original one-person Mercury, then the two-person Gemini, and, of course, later the three-person Apollo. And so Gemini was that intermediate stage between the very first step and the way to the moon. And during the Gemini program, pretty well all the techniques were practiced or developed that would ultimately be used on the way to the moon, such as docking and spacewalking and so forth. And so Gemini was a very important interim step on the way to the moon. And some of the longest American space missions until the shuttle were actually conducted during the Gemini period. And as I was saying, the piece that we have from the Gemini is a panel from the nose section, and you can actually see the little ports in it where the reaction control rockets would have fired out of in order to steer the spacecraft.
These rockets are just fired occasionally to turn it.
Yes, that's right, just to turn it or to make a manoeuvre in some particular direction. And the other item that we have is actually a window bracket. Gemini had two tiny little windows that were supposedly to enable the astronauts to conduct line-of-sight dockings with various targets, usually Agena rockets. But apparently the complaint was that the windows were so small, they either fogged up, or even if they didn't fog up, you couldn't see out of them anyway because your field of vision was so limited. But it's just interesting to see this little window bracket that held the window in place.
Yes, I remember sitting in a Gemini spacecraft once and being quite surprised at how small the window was. It's almost like perhaps a dinner plate held at arm's length, about that sort of size, looking out. And yet they took such amazing photographs through those windows.
Yes, I sometimes think actually that they didn't take them through the windows at all. I'm sure they actually stuck their heads out of the spacecraft and took them from outside.
All right. Well, we've talked a lot about Russian artifacts and American ones. Have we got anything Australian in the section there?
Yes, we do, actually. Probably the most interesting item that we have at the moment currently on display is a cosmic ray detector that was developed by Dr. Ken McCracken, who was, of course, formerly the director of the CSIRO Office of Space Science and Applications. Dr. McCracken has been involved in just about everything Australia has ever done in space, and at one time was actually working with NASA in the United States, developing cosmic ray detectors for the Pioneer program. And one of his detectors flew on the Pioneer 6, I think it was, and another one flew on... No, sorry. One flew on Pioneer 6 and 7 of the same type, and then a different type flew on the I think it was 8 and 9, something like that.
What are cosmic rays, Kerry?
Essentially, cosmic rays is a blanket term applied to high-energy particles and gamma rays that come from space and can be detected in the upper atmosphere of the Earth. And in the 1960s, many probes were sent out to investigate further whether they occurred in other parts of the solar system and that's what the Pioneer probes actually did.
Have you got any new displays coming up in the Powerhouse Museum?
Well, we hope actually to install a replica of the Optus or OSAT-B satellite later this year in October, which has just been provided for us by the Hughes Aircraft Company. We also hope to put on display at that time our latest acquisition, which I'm very thrilled about, and that is Dr. Leo Dintenfass's aggregation of red cells experiment, which flew on the space shuttle in 1985 and again in 1988. And as you know, Professor Dintenfass passed away 2 years ago, and the Rachel Forster Hospital recently donated his apparatus to the museum.
He's one of the very few Australians who've ever had a payload fly on a space shuttle, isn't he?
Yes, that's right. In fact, his was the first actual Australian payload to fly on the space shuttle. Not as large or as perhaps as significant as Endeavour, but significant nonetheless in that it was the first, and it made some quite important medical discoveries. So we're quite thrilled to actually have that available now in the Powerhouse.
Well, that's something to look forward to when we go and visit the Powerhouse the next time we're in Sydney.
I'll look forward to seeing you come and join us.
Thank you very much, Kerry, for joining us tonight on The Space Show.
Thank you.